South Sudan has potential of being food self-sufficient. Well, this will need not only more land to be under cultivation, but smart agriculture practices to be adopted by farmers across the country. Well, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, in partnership with the South Sudan government and the African Development Bank, are taking steps to improve the way the South Sudanese farmers put their effort into productivity. Well, yesterday, FAO and its partners launched a digital agriculture platform. The digitization of agriculture had three components. As we understand it, that is the e-registry and voucher management system, and also the e-extension and weather advisory services and the seed management system. Well, we have guests who are here to help us understand these three components of the platform and more. And in the studio, we have the Food and Agriculture Organization country representative in South Sudan, Meshack Malu. We have Emmanuel Minari from the Minister of Agriculture and Food Security. And we also have Robert Gitau, who is part of the team that crafted the digital platform mechanism. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you so much for making our time to speak to us this morning.
Good morning and wonderful to see you.
Right. So I'll start with you, Meshack. Let's start with the... help us understand why there was a need to digitize agriculture here in South Sudan.
Yeah, as you've well said, the challenges facing agriculture are great. And the Ministry of Agriculture, together with FAO and other partners, are looking at ways to increase production, productivity, and to fill that food gap and ensure that South Sudan is able to be food secure. Mm-hmm. As we know, one of the areas that we can really enhance on is the area of technology.
Right.
So we have to ensure that we not only increase the area, but we increase productivity. And a lot of technology will be at the forefront. Mm-hmm. And we also see this as a good way to attract the young people into agriculture, because the agriculture of tomorrow is not going to be that agriculture where you look at it and then you think about a hoe. No, it's going to be an agriculture that is going to be led through a digital innovation. So as a food and agriculture organization and the ministry, we want to make sure that the country is not left behind.
Right.
That's why these platforms were initiated.
Mm-hmm. Right. Coming to you, Mr. Emmanuel, how does this new development complement what the ministry is doing so far in supporting productivity?
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, of course, as we know, the mandate of the Minister of Agriculture is basically to help the communities and to be able to produce enough food. As you correctly put it earlier on, it's not only about land. Yes, South Sudan has got, abundant arable land. But the challenges of increasing production as we continue to remain in South Sudan. South Sudan remains to be very, very food insecure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Just. To recap again.
Right.
Just, agriculture is the Minister of Agriculture is mandated to develop policies and programs in collaboration with the development partners, but actually in supporting communities to be able to address the major challenge we have.
Mm.
In South Sudan, we import about 60% of the food, which is translates directly to about 40% of our GDP, national GDP.
Right.
You know, and we also know that the population of Africa and much more in South Sudan is about 70% youth.
Mm-hmm.
So technology, particularly information technology, is key in this case. So about a year ago, the ministry, in collaboration with the FAO, began to actually have a conversation. Because some of the challenges in actually to delivering services to the community is about seed. The seed that we do not actually produce enough seed in the country, we import most of it. And the delivery of those services, particularly agriculture inputs like seeds, fertilizers, and so on, is normally done in the remote areas because we don't have banking services, mm-hmm. we don't have enough agro dealers across the country. And so what FAO and many other development partners do is actually they use the voucher system. The voucher system is actually a very, they normally use manual system, which is very cumbersome, and sometimes it is quite challenging to even know who is the agro dealer who have supplied what, or who are the beneficiaries, where are they located.
Right.
At the end of the day, whenever the ministry actually wants to know whether a particular intervention that has been developed, that has been funded by a donor or by government, to track and know actually how many beneficiaries are you targeting, and who are the key players along the value chain, mm-hmm. right from input supply, even from processors and so on. So it's quite challenging, and so the digital platform comes in to be quite handy in helping us to be able to reach out more, and also to monitor what is happening, and also to be able to have information at our fingertips, because right. most of the time, if we are required, for example, by the ministry to prepare a report, it is quite cumbersome. You have to talk to so many people, but with this digital platform, you can actually go, with the touch of a button, be able to generate a quick report and be able to present that information.
Right. Thank you so much, Mr. Emmanuel. Coming to you, Robert, just give us an overview of how you understand the challenge before you as you are going to the drawing board to come up with the models of digitally addressing agriculture needs.
Yes, thank you very much. So at the first, when we started working towards digitization with the Ministry of Agriculture through FAO, the first thing we needed to understand is what is the problem we are trying to solve. At the most fundamental stage was, do we know who the farmers we are talking about are? Where are these farmers? What interventions are required to be made to first understand the farmers, to understand the impact of the interventions that are being made by the various donors? And in this case, we piloted this with FAO. There are a few challenges that we found, and one was around accessibility of information, accessibility of connectivity in some of these remote areas. And the systems that we then started designing had to be aligned to some of these challenges that are there within the country. So we started by building a registry for all the farmers. And this was to help us identify who are the farmers that who are the farmers who are participating in various intervention projects. We built an e-registry system, and from there we started looking at how are the processes that are being conducted by the various entities to support these farmers. How can we increase efficiency in some of these processes? Like Emmanuel mentioned, one of the biggest challenges is that every single process was manual. So we're doing a lot of paperwork. And what we were finding is that it was becoming very difficult to measure the impact of interventions that is being made to various clusters of various farmers.
Mm.
One, because we are not able to measure. We are not able to identify who the farmers are. We are not able to measure the impact. And we are not able to then monitor and evaluate the impact of these interventions.
Mm.
And this was the problem statement that we wanted to solve.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And Ms. Amishak, just to look at the e-registry and voucher management system, what sort of information will be captured here? And why is it important to have a database?
Yeah, initially, when you look at the way we were doing distribution, even at FAO, once we reach the PIAM level, then we have the local chiefs come so often they don't have a list, but they know the community members that are in need given the criteria. And it's one day you come, everybody comes, it's regarded as fair because everybody is there,
right?
And everybody can be able to see at the BOMA level who is receiving, and people will tell you no, so and so, no women to line up. And people get satisfied because those are the local ways of in South Sudan we do things. Even if it's a funeral, we get satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is there.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of accountability, this is not good. And also in terms of when you have many partners.
Mm-hmm.
Now with this, each household is registered, the male, the female, and that voucher will go specifically to that particular person, or it can be picked
by the alternate.
Right.
The age is definitely there, the size of land which they have, and the family size. So it gives more information to be able to make those decisions earlier than when we go in sort of a baraza.
Mm.
And you cannot really say some people may be able to drop out. So this registration is done. We think we've got about 1.4 million farming households. So if we're able to get all of them, we'll be able to get them much more easier. Secondly, this is going to help us also engage the private sector more, because we can now work with even small agro dealers
mm-hmm.
to be able to distribute once they receive a coupon.
Right.
But with this information not being there, we had to do these mass things, and by that we have to bring seeds and mass, and even the few seeds that are available in the local community become very difficult. Mm-hmm. Now with this system, once they receive a coupon and it's already electronically there, even local seed producers like you'll hear from the example they did in Wau, then they were able to get those coupons, local seed producers, and go and redeem it in a more simpler way.
Right. Well, thank you so much. Now, Mr. Emmanuel, as a government department, how useful is it for you to get data on farmers' activities?
It's very useful because, you know, information is important for accurate decision-making and for policy formulation.
Mm-hmm.
You may be aware that about few weeks ago, the government launched reported the IPC, which basically shows that there are about 7 million South Sudanese who are actually, you know, food insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So in planning actually for agriculture activities generally, and for developing specific policy, the information is quite useful. For example, South Sudan has got about 7 agroecological zones. If you wanted specific data, for example, in the eastern arid area around eastern Equatoria and so on, there will be specific information about not only about farmers, about what are the kind of inputs that are required, who are the number of maybe extension workers and so on. So this information is very important really for purpose of policy,
right.
Policy formulation and general planning. But maybe let me just clarify this. Mm. I think this digital platform which was launched yesterday is a government platform. FAO supported, together with the Africa Development Bank, the government, with the collaboration of the technical team,
right.
To be able to develop it.
Mm.
Now, this has been this is going to be actually hosted within the ministry, and then there will be a lot of capacity building that will go into it.
Right.
Now, we are piloting this with the FAO project through the with the FAO through some of the projects funded by Africa Development Bank. But our plan is to make sure that eventually in the whole country, a number of the key players, whether it is NGOs or other UN agencies, including CBOs, who are engaged in the agriculture sector, will be able to actually use this platform, so that at least at the national level, the ministry will have an idea of, for example, how many farmers are there in which location,
right.
What are the needs and so on. So really the information is quite critical.
Right.
And then just finally to emphasize that, you know, we are in the era of information, so really the youth, engagement of youth in agriculture is going to be quite easier because in terms of, technology, the youth are more technology savvy and all that. So, but I think there will be obviously challenges. As we pilot this, we will work together with our development partners to see to it that at least we move towards
Right.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. Now, Robert, whenever people hear about technology, some are scared, most especially now the farmers. I mean, how complicated is the use of this platform?
Yes, you're right. I think one of the biggest things that we pounded on was how do we simplify things for the farmer out there, for the agro dealer, and the various users.
Mm.
So what we've done is that we have created these platforms using very simplified user interfaces, very graphic driven, almost foolproof. And what we have done is that some of the services that we are extending to parties outside of our government and NGOs, we're extending that through very simple mobile applications.
Right.
So just to demystify this thing that we are calling the digital platform. So what we launched yesterday was three platforms that effectively would be working together. So the first platform is now dubbed Farm Magic. And what Farm Magic handles, it handles the process of registration of farmers, as you have been speaking about, handles the process of voucher issuance and voucher distribution.
Mm.
But over and above that, these farmers are registered by enumerators. So we have also developed a solution for enumerators who will be registering various clusters of farmers and beneficiaries. So that is going to be done on a mobile phone, available online and offline mode as well. And then we have got also another app for the agro dealers, so that when a farmer goes to redeem their voucher at any of the agro dealers stations, then the agro dealer is able to verify that this farmer is a legitimate farmer, or the voucher that they are presenting is a valid voucher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one side of the platform. The second side of the platform was the e-extension service platform. So what farmers will be able to do with this solution is that they'll be able to receive a 10-day weather forecast on their phones, simplified such that at this point in time, there will be this solution is available on app basis.
Mm.
But we're having discussions to see how do we extend this to a very rudimentary use by very rudimentary phones. So how are you able to allow a farmer who does not have a smartphone to utilize this? Things like USSD code and so on and so forth to be able to query. So one side is weather forecast. The other side is to be able to get information about plant diseases, about pests, and so on and so forth.
Right.
So that's an e-extension service solution. And the final one was a seed management system, where we want to be able to verify seeds. Are they certified? Who is bringing these seeds? Where are they coming from? Can we be able to trace this seed right from manufacturer all the way to farm, and then from farm to fork, and be able to see the impact of some of these seeds that we are importing into the country? What kind of quality are they? And therefore, then we improve our sourcing process of seeds. So this combined platforms is what we are calling the digital platform,
right?
Just to demystify
right.
that.
Thank you so much for elaborately speaking about it. Now, thank you so much, gentlemen, for making our time to speak to us. Our time is fast spent. Misha, you have put in so much work with other partners in supporting this digitization of agriculture. What will the success of this look like?
Yeah, we are becoming very ambitious, and we know and we understand our challenges in South Sudan, such as connectivity, but we don't just want to remain there. We are very, very hopeful as we work on this that there are other partners and the government working on connectivity, so that immediately connectivity will be there. Then the farmers will find that the infrastructure that this needs to move begins to move. But already we'll begin testing it with those that can do it. And as has been said, the major challenge is going to be the fact that not everyone has got a smartphone. But like in a wheel, where we are piloting the irrigation scheme, we plan to give to the farmers smartphones so that they can benefit from it.
Thank you so much, Misha. And finally, Emmanuel, what else needs to be done for such initiatives to be a success?
Well, I think, as I said earlier on, of course, we will go through the piloting and hopefully be able to scale it so that we bring on board a number of implementing partners. One of the important features that this platform has is actually there is a feature which clearly shows, particularly in terms of the donors, who are the specific donors that are funding what projects, and which are the partners who are implementing activities and where. I think in terms of going forward, the government needs to invest in actually scaling this up, particularly in building capacities, both at the national and the state level, to be able to absorb this and be able to manage it better. And part of the investment will need to go into actually, you know, technology infrastructure, particularly in terms of IT and so on. Mm. So this is actually going to be quite, because it's one thing for the farmers to access those, but managing that to be able to get the information that you require for planning and for policy and the decision making, this is actually an area where some investments is required.
Mm.
But I think the government is very, very grateful to FAO for collaborating with us in being able to develop this. And we hope this is one way, or it's actually just one way of helping us to be able to address the three major problems that we have in the country,
right,
which is food insecurity, income insecurity, and nutrition insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Emmanuel, Robert, and Meshack, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
That's right. Emmanuel Minari is from the Minister of Agriculture and Food Security. Robert is part of the team that put together the e-platform, and Meshack Malo is a food and agriculture organization's country representative in South Sudan.